going to start this morning, though, by looking off our western coastline. And pictures emerged over the last number of days of the Russian-registered ships that have been causing concern off the west and southwest coast of Ireland over the past week. The images released by the Air Corps revealed three ships. The three Russian-registered commercial vessels first departed from the Russian port of Murmansk in the 23rd of February on course for the Equatorial Guinea port of Malabo on the west coast of Africa. At least two of the ships were first sighted off the Galway coast late last week in the vicinity of a newly opened subsea communications cable. The vessels then left the Irish Exclusive Economic Zone before reappearing again without explanation off the North Kerry coast west of Dingle on Friday. Their movements were monitored by the Air Corps and by the Naval Service from their base at Hall Bowline. And there was no Irish naval ships at sea on Friday due to a lack of personnel. With me on the line to talk about this from, I suppose, his perspective with regards to where this stands and what it means for our coast and also what it means for our fishing fleet and the safety of all that is Patrick Murphy of the Irish South and West Fish Producers Organisation. Patrick, good morning to you. Thanks for joining me in the programme.
Good morning, Gerry, and thanks for inviting me on.
What are we to make of all of this? What's your major concern when it comes to these sort of sightings?
Well, these are two listed as two salvage ships. They're the Umke and the Barkmir, if I can pronounce them correctly. Yes, our vessels, you would have got them in WhatsApp that our vessels are monitoring these, they're fishermen, because of course they're concerned. These vessels are allowed to transit through our waters under the United Nations laws, but with a purpose. So I don't know, has the state been given that purpose and what their directions and their logging of where they're to go? Just like you said, they were meant to head for Africa. You can see in the WhatsApp that the different journeys that they're taking and where they're going. So of course people should be concerned. I'm not going to be saying otherwise, but our boats are watching it, and thanks be to God we still have a fleet left, that some of the boats haven't gone up to be scrapped yet, that somebody's there to watch them. Isn't it crazy that the Navy said they hadn't enough crew to go out and monitor foreign vessels inside our waters? So the fishermen won't let us down. I can guarantee you that they are being monitored, and they were as close as 20 miles off our coastline, Jerry.
20 miles is all they were?
Yeah.
Okay. And look, the question is, look, fishing, obviously vitally important off our coast, everyone knows about that, but what people may be less aware of, there is a myriad of cables, telecommunications and other important infrastructure on our seabed off our coastlines.
Yeah, and Jerry, like, just because what happened when we went to meet the Russian ambassador, Yuri Filatov, didn't come out in the public that time, we had explained there was a lot of information that we kept back. Look, the man that went with me to meet that ambassador had 20 years' experience in politics. We weren't just two Joe Soaps going up there having an old chat with a thing. It was a targeted, it was planned, and it was orchestrated in a manner that achieved the result that we had, and that was to move the Russians out of our EEZ and out of our waters away from us. And that was done by us at that time, and the truth will come out in time about what actually happened there. And we are monitoring this, and I've explained this to other interviewers. Look, if there is trouble outside there, the fellas, the innocent people first in the firing line will be fishermen. So they're the ones that have to get out of the way. So, of course, we have to monitor this and make sure that it is. And we are the local community watch. You see it in posts all around our communities. This is a community watch area. We're the watch people outside. We're the ones that are watching these and monitoring these people. And we have that information. And it's no problem with us to share it like we did with you this morning.
Yeah. What kind of vessels are these? They're not traditional Russian naval ships, are they?
No, but like as you said, if they're salvage vessels, if they're vessels that are coming down, checking the infrastructure and stuff like that, then this is a concern.
There's a
and
concern.
Monitoring it. Like, so it's a concern whether they're there or not. They can't even send out the Navy. It's a bit shocking, really, when you sit back and look at this. Look, I've put my name in for politics, for A2, for Ireland South, because I think what's going on is crazy. And not just in this. You were on earlier about funding. We had a 5.47 billion fund for the effects of Brexit, and we've learned that half of it maximum will be spent in the areas that we were expecting to be sent in our farming communities. 162,500 farmers in the country, and were told by the minister that they couldn't get a criteria to be able to give them the money that would measure up to what Brexit affected them. So there's a lot of stuff going on in this country at the moment, and I think people need to be aware of it. And look, even like this that you're raising on the airwaves this morning, this is all linked. You know, it just shows the mismanagement that's going on right across the board, and it has to stop. You know, we're going deeper and deeper in debt, 800 million, billion in debt, and there doesn't seem to be any value for it.
Okay.
Waiting lists. So, look, the the fishermen are looking after it.
Can you put your finger on why, and is it down to recruitment and resource or combination of both, that we don't have enough Navy personnel to be out there?
They're not paid enough. Listen, like, this is a tough job as it is. It's the same as fishermen, and like, you have to support your family. The cost of living ashore has gone through the roof, trying to get housing and accommodation. We've people leaving our country because they can't, even though they have jobs, they can't get a house to live in, so they leave and go somewhere else. So that's madness. So it's the same for the Navy personnel and everything else, same in the Army, same in everything. We seem to be topsy-turvy. We do a top-down approach rather than a bottom-up approach.
Could it not be explained, Pat, at least in part, by the fact that we have full employment, we have an economy that's going well, there's plenty of demand out there for jobs in every sort of a sector, and when that happens, sometimes you have people leaving the public and going to the private. When a crash comes, as we saw 13, 14 years ago now, there's a flight to public sector jobs and no problem recruiting guards, naval officers, army personnel. Could that be part of it?
When I grew up, Jerry, when I was raised, if you managed to get a public service job, you were set for life. There's massive benefits for being inside there, with pensions, big payoff lump sum when you leave,
job security,
early retirement.
Yeah.
You know, so, and these benefits mustn't be as good as the private sector that they're saying. But then you have people saying that they can't live in the country because they don't have enough money to pay the rent or whatever. So I don't believe that. I believe that there's just not enough money paid for these important jobs that are out there. And we need a government that has to make up its mind whether they're going to look after these people properly. Look, you had complaints from the women inside the army that they were being abused and everything else. Like, this is happening, as we're seeing. It's mismanagement. They've taken the eye off the ball, and they're not looking at where they should be looking. And to be honest with you, it's not good enough. And it's simple as that. Right across our sectors and our country, we have a rich country with skilled and talented people that are waiting to go. But you have to be able to support yourself when you get a job. You can't go into a job that's going to put you in debt. And this crack of subsidising people or going on to the social welfare if your job isn't paying enough is absolutely ridiculous.
Okay.
And the person that came up with that should apologise and put their heads down. Because
can you tell me, Patrick, back to the ships off our coast, are they still there, or do we know what the situation is?
Yeah, like, we don't know what the situation is. All I can assure you and everybody else that's listening to this program, that the fishermen, and especially in the Irish South and West, because of our earlier interest in what was happening outside in our water, we're monitoring it. And we will be on hand, if just to pass on information. No, we're not going to take any Russian ships, but we will be monitoring it. So if there's any suspicious activity, or if they start to slow down or halt over these places, we will be the first ones to notify the authorities.
Okay, very important in that as well. Okay, Patrick, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks for talking to us about that on the programme this morning.
And Jerry, any time that you want to come on and talk about other things now that I'm in the political arena,
we'll do.
Feel free.
We'll
Thank
do. Candidate for the next European elections, is that right, for N2?
That's right, Ireland South. And look, as I said, we have reasons that I want to go to Europe, because I believe that we were wronged during the Brexit negotiations. I believe that there wasn't a legal instrument there. There was no treaty or no legislative to take from us what was taken. And I think that I would have to go to Europe to challenge that from the inside, because from the outside it would cost you tens of millions, and we don't have that resources.
Okay. All right, we'll leave it there, Patrick. Thanks very much for talking to us.